Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to Chapter 11 of the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hi, hey guys.
I am your host, Father Lib, a.k.a. the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt, and we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and now talk every day and can't picture life without the other.
And we are joined with someone else now that we talk to every single day because of Bookstagram. And we love her for everyone that's already watching.
Hello.
We have What Jordan Reads Today.
And hey, girl, hey. Rocking that cereal t-shirt that Woo! I want.
Hello.
Can't see. We got the cereal tea on
I am loving that you're on this journey. I love too. It. Whenever one of our friends comes and they're like, I think we're going to start something. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you yes. are. How are you? How is life? What's going on? I'm sure you're exhausted because you're a mother and it's the weekend. Yes. I'm like, well, we can just all say that right away. I'm sure we're all exhausted.
Right. And it's like about to be like peak holiday season, which, you know, that just gets wild. No, yes. I'm good. I'm just, if I sound a little bit off, it's because I'm getting through a cold. So sorry for the nasally voice.
Never be sorry. Thank you for still coming on when you're not feeling the best.
Yes. No, I'm fine. No, I'm good. I'm just so excited to get to talk with you guys. I know
we've been waiting for a while. I know it took a while with all the planning when we were getting started, but I remember when Britt and I were talking, we were like, do you think Jordan would come on? It was one of the first ones. We were like, do you think that Jordan would come on and want to talk to us?
The worst she's going to say is no.
I know. That's what Britt was like, the worst she could tell you was no. And I was like, okay, well, that might hurt a lot.
We are still going to shoot that shot, okay?
I know. Then he said yes. And I was like, oh, success. Woo.
Yes, of course. What do you talk? I love your podcast. I've listened to many episodes. I haven't had all of them yet.
No, that's okay.
Them and I just like, I don't know, I just love it. Is there anything better than a bookish podcast? I don't think so.
No, I love them. And I know, yes. I mean, everything's different, but I just like, we got to keep it like casual, like a FaceTime call. We say it all the time, but I'm like, this is supposed to be like you're on FaceTime with us. We would like you to be responding when you're listening on your end because we're on FaceTime. That's literally how it started. Yeah. My husband was like, hey, you guys talk every day, literally on FaceTime all day. Have you ever thought about letting other people know about what you talk about? And we were like, we could do that.
And here we are.
I was just saying to someone earlier today, though, in a DM, that I'm like, it's still somewhat mind-boggling to me that we have a podcast and that people listen to it.
That people want to come. Well, yes. People want to come on. I think, like, and I know people will be like, why wouldn't they? But, like, it's also just, like, two random girls in the Midwest that were like, we could do that. And everyone starts a podcast. So I was like, you know what? It could seriously crash and burn, but we'll be okay. It's done so... It's just crazy to see how well everyone's receiving it. And you have a large following. And it's not all about numbers, but you do. Mm-hmm. You have such a large following. I was just like, I can't believe, like, people want to come on and talk to us.
Awesome. That's why. Like, hell yeah.
It's not about numbers, but the first time there's a lot of Jordans in the Bookstagram world.
Yeah.
There are. So exciting because I feel like I've literally met one other Jordan in real life in my whole life. Right. And it's like, yes.
So and there's only a couple that I can think off the top of my head.
I've never met another Libby.
When you were brave enough to give me your cell phone number, and I was like, how do I differentiate and save it? I put Jordan in the amount of followers you had, and then I had to keep like changing it and updating it. But now I've changed it to be Akatar emojis because of it's our thing, you know. But I was just like, oh, she's got
I honestly don't talk to hardly any other Jordan. So you, Jordan. Normally I put funny quotes sometimes as people's names, like...
That.
I don't know if you know what who Rebecca is. What's her handle? What's Rebecca Reads? Yes. Since day one, like I literally put Rebecca and then it has a dash and says Niklaus Michelson.
Stop.
Because that's literally all I hear every time. And I just wish
Rebecca!
And then when I screenshotted something once and sent it to her, like our thread, she was like, I don't understand. That's literally, what is that? And I was like,
oh boy.
Tell me she's watched it now. I don't know if she has, but I sent her like a 10-minute compilation of literally just him yelling Rebecca. And she was like, I do get it more now with you. And I was like,
exactly. I have only seen the clips when Iron Flame came out and people were posting to yell Rebecca Yaros. And so that's how I know the reference, but I haven't watched it. But I at least know what you're talking about right now.
Vampire Diaries is like a comfort show for me. I mean, these are so much
True Blood fangs, but we all know I'll pick a vampire. I love my fae, but like I would literally be like, bye. Would you like right here?
Do going
you
for think the
right,
vampire.
I'm like, do you think like right here would be a really good spot? I literally would be like, bye. I love your wingspan, but bye.
Change me. Change me to a vampire so we can live
my
forever.
My husband knows his place. He knows where we stand if they come to the light of day.
Sorry, I'm leaving you for a vampire. You know this already.
He was like, I know.
Same. Different take Rebecca. On the hall pass.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't think we'd be going with that. So life's going good. What have you been reading? I know you do read all kinds of different things, and you do.
I've been expanding my repertoire.
I know. So I'm like, where have you landed recently? What's going on?
Just like literally like an hour ago, I finished Broken Harbor by Katherine Couch. That is my girl. That is my girl.
Okay, so I'm savoring it. I have the ALC. So I still don't know the whodunit. And I know I'm wrong. I know. Listen to me. It's the way Literary Botanicals Eva is like, girl, you are so wrong. And then I'll be like, I don't think so. Like, look at all my logic. And she'd be like, clown. What do you mean, clown emoji? She's like, reputation. That's what you're thinking. I'm like, okay, let me go back. Like, I know I'm wrong, but I'm very into it. I've been really prolonging it. Did you get it right? Is this the first one? I'm not even being crazy. I haven't got my first one right yet.
This will be my second.
From this Barrow Falls?
Well, no, I got a one right in Lost and Found series. I can't remember which book it was, but I
this
just
is
knew...
all I've read from her. I found her with this series. Okay. And so
she's
I have a lot of
10 before the end. Delicate Escape, that's book one of this one, right?
Fragile Sanctuary is the first one in the series, and then it goes to Delicate Escape, and then it's the Broken Harbor.
I think a reel I saw today threw me off, and I saw Delicate Escape and thought that was
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I feel like is, and I have not read all her backlog, but I will be doing that because I love her so much.
I want
but to. This series is definitely, in my opinion, I feel like such a good one to start with her because they're just so good, dude. They're so good. And I just, romantic suspense.
Do you read
element,
Debney?
I did The Crossroads and Sunlight, which I loved both of those. I want to do The Edens because that's like on my list. I've always wanted to read The Edens, but I haven't done it yet.
That whodunit's crazy, just so you know. Literally, I got that one wrong. I've never met really anyone that got it right. And I mean, like, even Goodreads is like, wrong. And Brittany knows I'll never live it down. I was so close.
Oh, I love that. But that's like the fun of it, though. It is. You're like, okay, who is it? Because you always think, like, this one's too obvious, but that one, there's no way. And then you just, like, when you... The best part when you find out who it is, the best part to me is one, you're always like, what? But then she goes through like kind of like their why.
Exactly. Like how it all, like, and you're like,
oh my God.
I kid you not. Oh, there's a very few books that I have literally closed it and reopened it. And Indigo Ridge was one of the first ones I ever did that to. It's also the voice note and the text I sent Brittany because and she has no idea what the is going on, number one. And I'm like, it's this person! It's literally this person! I've been telling you the whole time that it was this person, and I was wrong! Like, she was like, oh! And it's still a meme in our life to this day. We're always quoting that line that you'll get to, and then we can loop you into it. I feel like if I make merch one day, it literally has to go somewhere.
I can't read The Edens now because I just know too much. Like, and I usually one in one ear, out the other, but this one has stuck because of how prevalent it was.
It's the way was like, I mean, I call things from like two chapters in, which I love. I genuinely love it. So I was like, girl, right? I know. And then we got to the end and I was like, are you hitting me right now? You're actually fucking with me. It was the second whodunit I ever got wrong. The second one ever was that. And so I was like, okay, well.
I'm humbled. And I
was. the first one, I mean, we're off random tangent. This is what I love, though, is random tangents. Yeah. But have you ever read Until I Get You by Claire Contreras? It's darker.
No, but I've heard, is it a duet?
No, it is split into two times, like, this part of life and this part of life, but it's the best one I've ever seen done it. It takes nothing away. But that's the first Who Did It I ever got wrong, and that was the first book I ever literally closed it and reopened it because I was like, I said no. And then I was reading it and I was like, are you kidding me? It's the random words and sentences that you're like, and there it is. One of the best books I've ever read of all time.
I'm like, gonna have to add that. I love it.
When people are like, what about it?
Maybe we could buddy read it, Jordan, because I haven't read it yet either.
And the the audio is very good. I did it on audio and I loved it, but that's probably one of my favorite books of all time. It's like top three. And so, I love it. But I got, that was the first one I ever got wrong. And I was like, that's a lie. I was mad. I was like, the author literally lied to us.
Excuse me, that's not right, actually.
And then I was reading it and I was like, okay, so the author's smarter than I am, clearly.
And okay, so you're reading. Got it. Okay.
She Taylor Swift me. That's what I tell people now. I'll be like, she Taylor Swift me. Mastermind it. How did I miss it?
She is like literally to me, like the when you find out who it is and like why they do it, you're just like, holy shit. Like, Catherine came up with that in her head. Like, that blows me away.
And then she'll be like, and I have the whole series planned, and I'll be like, you already know all of the whodunits.
And I'll tell you, dude, at the end, I love how you always get the prologue and then like the first two chapters of the next book. And this prologue fucked me up of the next one. I'm just going to say it. I was texting with Isabella. I don't know if you guys, Isabella Joy Reads. Mm-hmm. Both of us love Catherine Cowell, so we like always like to talk about it. And I said to her, I'm like, this might ruin me. Like this next book might ruin me. Yeah. And
I love it.
The tropes.
I love
it. Who it's going
to
be.
Can't wait. I know. I need to finish it.
This
but
is going to maybe sound weird, but I don't read the stuff at the end because I don't want to like be teased and have to wait so long. I'd rather just like know nothing.
Tease me a little bit.
Mine's not even that. It's that I'm weird and I like to know like two tropes and be like, well, and then that's that. I don't even need to know one more thing. Don't even tell me your name. I don't even want to know. I feel like I go into books so blind and people be like, why'd you pick that up? And I'll be like, what do you mean? It's because it was by an author I liked. I have no idea what it's about. I just was picking it up.
Lately, I really like to go into books blind. Like I actually...
Me too.
When I first started Bookstagram, like I loved reading like the quotes from a book.
Me too. And spoilers. Like I wanted to pretty much know the whole book before I read it. And now I'm like, I don't want to know literally anything. Like sometimes they give too many tropes in their trope list for me. And I'll be like, you could have let me find that one on my own, you know, like, or it's not even like it's bad. It's just like, I like literally three tropes. And if you hooked me in three tropes, I don't need to know one more second about it. I will be reading your book.
Yeah. Like I love going in like more blind than not lately. And it actually
makes romantic suspense more enjoyable. Feel like when you don't know all the tropes of the romantic suspense, it also really helps because you're like, I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to be looking for fully. Like, because other people will know that. But if you didn't read every last thing, you're like, okay,
totally
I'm not
agree.
Sure.
Like, I have changed my tune. I used to read a lot and research and try and be prepared-ish, you know, but now I'm really liking less information to go in. But I did just read a recent... where I was going in blind, it had none of the tropes or triggers, which I didn't really care about the triggers, and this wasn't a trigger, but it was The Forged in Blood by Sadie Kincaid, her first paranormal romance one. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a bully romance going into it, and it really
that
kind
of...
That
does set the vibe.
I was like, why are these guys being such assholes to her? Like,
that
I
does
just
set the vibe.
So
Brit's getting triggered.
I was getting ragey. I was DMing Claire, and I'm like, because she'd already read it, I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now, Claire? She's like, you just gotta keep reading. And then I was like, wait a second, this is a bully romance? And she goes, yes. And I was like, okay, like, let's pause. Let's recalibrate the brain. We will be fine.
I love bully romances.
I need like that type of detail before, like, I'm going in, you know?
I think it surprises people. It's probably one of my favorite comments we get randomly when people like stumble across it. Cause like, that's where I started, was Vi Keeland. And then Shane East narrated a Vi Keeland book, which is Small Town Feelings and Vi Keeland. And then they were like, well, you listen to that, you should listen to this. It was Rena Kent. And I literally went right to audio. I didn't know. Well, I mean, like, jail. That jail. You need jail. It was bullying, but it was so hot. I loved it. So when people are like, what do you mean? And I'll be like, oh, I read every bully romance pretty much ever. Every dark mafia. And they're like, what? And then randomly within the last like 2 years, I've been like, so small town is pretty cool. I'm like, small town is really nice. I was in like deep, dark bully land with like collars and public humiliation for a while. People scroll back on the Goodreads and they'll be like, hey, you don't read that much anymore like that. I'll be like, I know. We have lifted to lighter times.
I've never read a bully romance. I have not really dipped my toes that much into dark romance, bully, why choose. Like, I have
until
not
I
gone.
Get you is literally like, I think, a perfect segue, and I'm not just saying that.
Yes.
Like, I think it is a great
segue
for it.
You were gonna try the dark first though, but the third person POV was a hang up. Do you think now that you're doing ACOTAR that it'll help you get over it?
Because I feel like when I was listening to Frost and Starlight, when it was like the narrator, but I loved how when I was listening to it, that I then heard their voices while I was doing it. So I don't know.
Not to mention that Sarah's narrator is one of the best narrators of all time.
She's phenomenal. I loved her. I thought
she does all of them besides Crescent City, but she does all of Tog as well. So whenever that journey happens,
by the way, it's happening.
I know, or I'll be starting our own bully romance in real time. Let me tell you. She's like, I know. I can't. I do. I know. Some people were like, one of my friends was like, you have to let her enjoy ACOTAR. I was like, I am.
No.
But what kind of friend would I be if I didn't tell her every day that we're leading to more greatness? We're getting greatness and more greatness. I'm so excited
for you. I am already looking forward to it because I'm very intrigued to see, like, because I know it's like a whole different world, and I'm excited. I'm just excited to. I'll need it.
You're
I'll
reading
it
in the
I'm
right
be order,
heartbroken.
Though. Yeah, that's how I read it.
Like, you are reading the right order to be able to fully appreciate both series in the best order.
Yes.
And
we were actually talking this morning to LA. I always forget her handle.
Literary Alexandra.
Yeah, I can literally always forget it. And I was telling her, like, that's how I did it. And there's no, like, spoilers. I think you've already read it, but still. And we were talking about, like, the journey of how I did it. And that's the way you're doing it made it, like, so much, like, better. Because you pick up on these moments and you're like, oh, crap, I understand now. Like, you might not be understanding now, but then you, like, get to other books and her series and you're like, oh, well, it all comes together, which I love that
I actually
type of
think
writing.
Talking about and not referencing is in F. It's like in one of the early charts.
Oh, see, that's why. I have a very bad habit, which Britt knows, of once I read a series, there is no more series. It is one book. Does that make sense?
I totally get that. Yeah. No, I get it.
I genuinely am like, well, that's why I be very vague with things because I'm like, my brain literally is like, well, that's one story.
I mean, you're going to read it, Jordan, and it's not going to register until you read the other one, but they're...
Yeah, like
I'm
five
so
books,
excited.
Nope, like seven books
seven
in.
Books in.
Seven, like it takes seven books into Tog for you to realize two lines of a book in ACOTAR, and you're like, you're literally going to read it.
But are they interconnected in a way?
Only time will tell.
Just have to keep reading.
Why can't you do this to me? Oh, my God. I'm so excited. That's my number one like Christmas wish list. I want to get the Tog series. Like, give them all to me so I can then do it next year. Like, because I probably won't be able to get to it this year. I'm not a slow reader in the sense of I can't. Like, I can if I had a chunk of time where I would be in it uninterrupted. I could binge a book out, but kids. So it takes me a while to like. Get through books.
Yeah, I can understand that. Which I'm learning, which most new moms do. I used to be like, wow, I read so much. Like, I was doing so good. And then he started walking and having attitude and telling me, no, mama. And I'm like, okay, so we're not getting anything. I do still read a lot, and I know that. And I can listen to audio. The only way I can digest audiobooks is at 2x speed. Like, it's how my brain likes them. So I still get a lot of reading done, but I'm also just like, what? Like, half the time I do feel like for the first time in the last 3 or 4 months, I'm like, did I comprehend that, though, the way I used to? Because There was some of mama, mom, mama, mama, I cry, tantrum, which I like love being a mom, but I'm just like, I don't know if I understood any of that chapter, but I also don't have time to go back. So we keep it pushing.
I feel like I've been reading at a snail's pace recently though, but I've just did a couple of betas back to back. So it's on my computer and I feel like I've been doing a lot of betas too. I feel like that slows me down my Kindle for some reason.
I think it's because we have to be so locked in, you know, because they're like looking for the critical feedback.
You have to really be focused for sure.
Yes.
And then when you're tired.
I'm also like working outside the home now and like we are no longer in our summer hours and it's just like.
And the holiday season's coming up. And
I'm like, am I even going to get to my 10 before the end? I know I'm going to read the 10, but like I'm also like starting to panic. I'm like, am I going to have time?
That's why I haven't made the post yet.
No, that's literally why in my head I was like, wait, should I just like make fun of myself? And I'll be like 10 before the end, but like slash out the 10 and be like, 3 before the end. That's the most likely the reality.
Yes.
Being able to read.
And I do know, like, I'll read 10 books, like, just because I have things I'm doing. But I also am just like, does that count? Sometimes I'm like, does that even count? I do have a choice, but it's like, that is work. Like, I'm doing stuff for the author. So then I'm like, the 10 doesn't matter. You know what I'm like, dude, I don't know. I haven't made the post. I'm lazy. I haven't even done the top. I didn't do the top trends either, like top 6, top whatever.
The top 5, I think, lazy. Is what it was.
I knew how much time. Like, it's I literally picked out all my stuff. But the time to put all of that on a slide, I don't have time
Both
for that.
Both of you are so freaking good at, like, edits. Like, you are so good.
Thank you.
No, I'm serious. You guys are so good at, like, doing edits for things. And, like, so those types of trends are, like, perfect for you. Because you can knock those puppies out, make them look gorgeous. Me, I'm over here like, I don't know what to do. How do you guys get these letters? Like, I'm like, I don't know.
Can I dance? Horrible. Is there dancing? Can we make it a dance?
Can we dance this out?
I have told you multiple times, like, I can't wait for us to meet in person because the first thing I would like to do is to make a TikTok where we're twerking. Nothing else matters more to me.
I will be the camera woman for that, okay? Because I'm going to be along.
Britt is the Mean Girls mom. You're doing great, sweeties.
I'm wearing my mom mode shirt. It's perfect.
So, love it.
So, where I know we've been all over the place, but I love it. So, like, what were you starting when you first like got into reading? Have you always been reading? Like, did you read growing up? Like, how did you find the romance community? And where were you starting?
Yes, I loved reading as a kid. I actually resonated with Belle so much because she was my favorite princess because I loved to read and I wanted to be Belle when I grew up. And then all through like elementary school, middle school, high school, like I was reading like all the books that came out. Twilight, I binged that shit so quick. Hunger Games, like all of that stuff. Right?
I'm like,
so
Twilight.
Yes, exactly. So I loved reading. And then I feel like once I kind of became an adult and I was in college and I was working and that kind of stuff, I was like, I kind of lost it. I wasn't like reading as much. And then I think a lot of people relate with this, but like when 2020 hit, mm-hmm. you know, you were just stuck in your house, like not really doing much.
Yep.
But at the time I was like, I hadn't really gotten into it, which is like crazy to me. Like at that time I was in the throes of going from 1 to 2. So I was just like,
big
I don't
shift.
Know what's going on here. Like, yeah. I can't, like, focus. Then when I was postpartum with Mackenzie, so she's my third, she was born in July of 2022, and I remember, like, literally almost, like, this time of year, I was talking to a couple of my friends, and Mackenzie was one of them, who's an author, and I love her so much, which is so cool that I got to, like, see her, like, before she even became an author. Like, I watched the whole process, and I got, like, things like little paragraphs, like before she even like posted it, like that she was gonna write a book. Like I got to read them before.
That's so exciting.
It was so cool. I'm so proud of her. She's literally doing so amazing. I remember she was like, Jordan, me and my friend Emily and her, we were like in this group chat. I love them so much. And they were like, have you never like read Smut? And I was like, what's Smut? I was like, I had no idea. Literally,
do you guys
no
know each
idea.
Other in real life? Like, are you close neighborly?
Erin lives in Florida, and then Emily lives in Indiana. Is it Indiana? Yes, Indiana. I'm like, I always either get Illinois or Indiana. And we actually like became friends over Instagram for like years. And then we finally met when I was like postpartum with Mackenzie. They came to visit me and we met for the first time. And like, we tried to make like a yearly thing. So all that being said, I was postpartum. I was like really struggling with my mental health. I just felt like I didn't have anything for me. I was just like really low. And they're like, have you ever like read smut, Jordan? Because I feel like that would just brighten up your day. And I was like, no, I never have. Like, what is smut? And they gave me a book rec and I read that. I binged the entire series and I was like, my eyes have been
what
opened.
Is it? What was it?
Do you remember what the series was?
Yes, it was the Miles High Club series from T.L. Swan. Oh, I binged that shit so fucking fast. I was like, oh.
Fray from it.
What do you want me to say? It's Kristen. Duh. I loved him.
I'm sorry. I just had to make sure. I love it.
Like, it's Tristan.
Clearly.
But
I loved T.L. Swan.
Loved that. That, like, completely kicked it off. Then I went into Becca Mack. I read all the Playing for Keeps series that was out at the time. And it was like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was, like, following Erin because she was, like, having a Booksta account. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know this was a thing. So then I, like, was discovering Bookstagram. I was discovering BookTok. I was like, this is so cool. Like, I didn't really love, because at the time I was having like a motherhood page, which I loved for the time that it was. And I still kind of weave that stuff in like when I watch, because mm-hmm. it's important to me because it's a part of who I am.
Yep. Yeah,
but
absolutely.
I was like, you know what? Like, I could do this. Like, I want to do a Bookstagram. Like, I want to mm-hmm. start one. And so I remember I started it in like May. I think it was that May, like that following May.
Did you start
May.
A brand new one or did you just switch your handle?
I just switched it.
Switched it?
I would not blame you.
Yeah, I was like, I just switched it. And I was like, listen, if you want to stay, I'm here. Yeah,
we would love to have you
no
stay.
No worries.
Yep.
Anyways, all that being said, that, and I remember I was like kind of, you know, getting my feel. Like I was trying to figure out like what to do, kind of what, like how I wanted to show up. Yeah. And I remember, because, you know, we all love, you know, T. Swift. I mean, I'm a big Swiftie. And
I mean, you two are, like, the biggest Swifties that I know. Like, I'm like, can you explain the meaning to the songs to me? Like, you two are the people I will come to for those sorts
I
of things.
With a whole freaking map behind me to let
you
know.
Like, yes, we'll break it down for you. We'll tell you
it's
all
the way
details.
I took her to the movie, and I was supposed to be talking to her, like, about things, and I couldn't shut the fuck up. I could not stop singing. And she was like, how do you know all the words? And I was like, how do you not know all the words?
I don't listen to music the same way I think that a lot of people do. I'm just like going with the beat and stuff
life.
And like I'm not listening to the
really
words
like
or trying
her.
To dissect the meanings. Like it's like whoop.
She's and so brilliant.
Can
she's
I
so
just
brilliant.
Say a random tangent? I yes. am genuinely and I mean a lot of people knew before the even craze because I will tweet my own horn because we love all Swifties, but I'm an OG. I've been to every concert ever, literally ever.
Girl.
And I got floor seats. I went, made my parents go like almost bankrupt, getting me floor seats to Reputation to like for all of us, which they did, but it was wonderful. It was the best. But the Tortured Poets Department, I shit you not, I have never moved a Taylor Swift album to up into my top five, like for a while.
Easily.
It's number two. It is literally number two. And I am like, and I know people are like, this doesn't matter. It does to me because as OG Swiftie, I was like, this will be good, but it'll be like maybe five. Like if we're breaking top five, it's gonna be like five. It's the way my whole life had to be shifted around for that, for TTPD. And I was like, and we still have
good ones. So
I can, and then
ones.
She came out with the anthology, and I was like,
I'm done.
33 songs, girl! And I know every last word. I just, that's my, we love to go on a T-Swift tangent over here. We're a T-Swift house.
Yes.
We could. If anyone wants that episode, I've said it before, I can give you a book rec for every album, every song, whatever you want me to do to make it bookish. I will do it.
We need to see that. So
we're
going to
plan
that,
and it's also at the same time going to be as soft bullying Brittany into learning all the information we want her to know.
Perfect. I will try to be a sponge, okay? And just soak it all in.
I love it. No. So, no. Oh, my God. I could talk about Taylor all the time. But
I really, I could. There are a couple things I can't stop talking about if we get started.
Yes. No, it's okay. I could talk about her all day. No, but I remember it was, was it Midnight? It was when 1989 Taylor's version came out, and I remember I like posted some rant. It was the flashing lights.
Yeah, like the dance that came with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, And that one like took off, and I was like, oh, so we like to see.
Did
me
it
dance
take off
like an
on
idiot.
TikTok or Instagram first, or
more
both?
On Instagram? More on Instagram. I feel like I don't know what, but Instagram like liked me more than TikTok. TikTok is kind of trying to figure it out. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. Really sure I'm trying me. To figure all of the algorithms out. I have no yes. idea what's going on.
And I'm just like, I'm too old to figure out that shit. So we're just gonna stay away from it.
Yeah, it's fine. But yes, and I was like. Like to see me dance like an idiot. Cool. Well, I can do that. And then I feel like once I started just dancing the way that I do and just being silly and goofy, being like, whatever, I'm gonna make a fool out of myself. Then I felt like that's when kind of shit just hit the fan, and I just saw like, oh,
being your authentic self, people loved it.
Yeah,
yeah. They love yeah,
so
it.
I just like to twerk like a, you know. Like a, you know,
I literally love it, folks.
Here.
I will say always, I met my husband twerking, and look at us now.
Look at us now.
Don't let anyone tell you that going to a bar and twerking doesn't get you anywhere, because it does.
It does.
It does, us. Folks.
Sure does. There you go.
So.
And then I met the best freaking people.
I was like,
you guys. But I literally
just,
like,
I love
literally
this community.
It's the best. It's the, mm-hmm. it's honest to God. And I know this week's been a little rough.
It's been a rough week.
It's been a rough week.
Well, I think too. No, we don't have to get into it. I think even this week aside, there's always things in any community that is not what people want or like or agree with. But I love this community, and I have never had so many friends, literally in my whole life. There and people be like, they're online, yeah, and they know my whole life and what's going on and my phone number and to text me and to check in and like, what more do you want?
I'm like, there's friendships are formed in this community, and I think it's just amazing. Truly.
And then when they can transcend like even more to like where we meet up, I am just like, I don't know what you mean how it's just an online thing. It's not. This is my whole world. It's right here.
If you think about it, it's like you're connecting with other people who love something just as much as you. So then you always have something to talk about. You always have something that you get to connect on. And
always.
I feel like every single person that I've been able to meet that is also like a bookish person, right? It just like, it's just so easy to like connect with them.
There's always a
like
good
natural.
Flow. I don't know if it's because we're literally reading so much that we understand the way conversations like should flow and keep happening.
Yeah,
but you're never like lacking for something. You know what I mean?
No.
And I think in this community too, it's really good because even if for some reason you had nothing to chat about, there's literally like a new book release every 2 days. Literally every 2 days, a new book is coming out. So there's always something to talk about. There's too much to talk about sometimes. And then I'll be like, we have to play catch up rather quickly so that we're not all behind on everything else that's going on now.
The amount of people that I feel like I've told I love you to in this community, I'm like, I never would have thought a few years ago that that would have been possible. But I truly do feel like a connection with these people, and you form relationships and
so
they mean something to you, and they bring such joy and fulfillment
and I think
to your life.
It's so true. I mean, and I won't lie, there are times where I still feel like lonely. I am a very introverted, anxious, like I have really bad social anxieties. So there are times I feel like lonely, like in the physical, like, you know, an IRL. But then it's always someone though, like in the bookish community that reminds me like, nope, we're good. Like, what do you need? What can I do? And like, that always helps and like reassures me because I'm like, we got this. Like, we're all together. We can all do this. We can get through it. A lot of us are anxious and depressed. So it's nice when someone just understands and you don't have to like overly explain yourself.
A lot of people read romance because of, at least I do, because of anxiety. Because I know no matter what's going to happen, they're going to end up happy at the end, you know,
yes.
So it gives me a peace of mind,
absolutely.
You know, so.
That's what I tell a lot of people, and I know it's controversial, but like for me and how my brain does it, like I love the miscommunication trope because like you don't get a happily ever after half the time with your miscommunication in real life. Like it just is like one party has to figure out how to keep going. And in romance, there is always, you're always going to get together no matter what. It doesn't matter what that miscommunication was, they're together. And I'm
I know they're going to end up happy at the end, but I'm still really pissed off at that miscommunication.
I mean,
you could be a little pissed off.
I just wish that
you're
like we could have it more.
And then we're going to move on and then we're going to
And I love it. I love the rage voice notes, but I'm just like, I love it because I think there's a lot of times in my life where I'm like, I wish we could have just even angrily talked for a minute about it instead of just moving on. You know, that would have been nice. I have feelings. A lot of feelings. A lot of people know I have a lot of feelings. We're big feelings girl over here. I love it when people send me pictures crying and they'll be like, you destroyed me with this book, Rick. Well, that means I've got a plus. Another one gold star added to the list for Libby.
Literally, if a book makes me cry, I'm like, all right, cool. Great. Yours would destroy me. Great.
I did it. It's evil, but it was emotionally satisfying when you sent me the ones reading The Haven River because it's like my top read of the year. And I was like, oh. I was like, ooh, this one feels really good. This one is a really good cry.
I loved Sunlight, dude. Sunlight. I mean, Crossroads was so good. It really, really was. But I don't know what it was about. I think that Sunlight, their meet cute was so freaking cute. Like, I don't know.
It's
what
one of the best accidental pregnancies I've ever read.
I'm excited to be able to hopefully, fingers crossed, add another one that I like to my list because it's a short list.
I love
it. Yes, it really is. I feel like it really was so good. And I loved they're like banter. I just loved it. It was so good.
I know. Real true banter, not just like the word thrown around. They have true banter. And
is there more coming? Is that or is that
no,
it?
This is a completed it's the way I bawled.
Have a heart attack. Seriously.
No, really. Like, I really lost it because I love this is her best work, her best thing she's ever done. But the more I've sat with it, the more I love it. And I did, I mean, she's had to explain herself twice, which she doesn't need to do that, but she's done it on her Facebook group. And she just said, like, this was only ever meant to be like one brother, but like, you couldn't tell West without Jax. So then Jax got his, and it is also Infinity. This is like a little Infinity Star duet for her. And so she just wants to let it live and be that. And I don't even think there'll be much. She said there probably won't even be crossover really anywhere because like this is their little moment of time. And I think it's beautiful because though I feel like I say it all the time now, like fantasy changes your soul a lot of times. You're like, wow.
Oh,
like
fantasy.
But this is like the first small town series out of all the 600 plus I've read that like literally changed part of my soul. Like a piece of me, without spoiling it for Britt, like a piece of me always be under that willow tree on the hill, you know, like forever. Like, and I was like, oh, so we're entering into soul changing territory, Miss Devney.
Dude, that scene was beautiful. Like that scene was beautiful.
I know, it was so good. And then with Sunlight, not that it would have been a disappointment, but like when it was literally for me, like the exact same playing field, I was like, you know what? It probably was good she did a duet because I think book three would have been my letdown, if that makes sense. It was much perfection.
Sometimes you have to know like when you need to just stop. Like,
in your head,
And it is literal perfection. Like there's not one thing I would change. Not one moment of them. I love them. So I'm just like.
It's so cute.
And I love Devney through and through. But there are always things I'm like, well, we could change that or we could have done that. You know, it's not like. But I'm just like, nope, I don't. No notes. There's not one note. Girl, you nailed it.
No.
I'm like, every edition you put out, it's on my shelf. That's great. Yes. Friend's like, what do you mean? There's more editions of it coming.
You already have. Wait, what?
So you lead us.
So good.
You lead us through this next bit because it's could be heavy. Well, you know, I just want to talk more about your mental health journey and you finding out your PMDD. It's not, you know, this, I want to give a trigger warning for anyone in case it is. You never know what could be, but I just want us to be open because we're all moms, number one. Mm-hmm. We all struggle with different health issues and things like that and anxieties, but you also have been starting your journey of learning and healing a little bit more from your PMDD. And whatever you're comfortable with, but I know a lot of us have been learning a lot through your stories and stuff too.
I just never knew what it was until I started seeing
and
your stories.
And I think we connect a lot on this because I also have it and I have PCOS and we have a lot of the same things. So I've never met anyone that also had all of the things that I have. So I think it really helped us kind of trauma bond too. Like, I understand your pain all the time in a month. So please like start from the beginning or start where you want, but whatever you're comfortable with.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Wow. Hello.
The floor is yours.
The floor is yours.
Well, first of all, I feel like I always someone that, regardless of if it sounds like it is a difficult topic to talk about, I am all about talking about it in the sense of, like you just said, you felt like no one, I've never heard anyone else talk about this, or I've never heard anyone else say that they feel this way too. What makes me so happy, and I'll get into like kind of the nitty gritty, but I am super proud of the fact that I've gotten messages from other women that are like, thank you for talking about this because this is something that I've been dealing with. I feel like nobody talks about it. And or they'll say, like, this sounds actually a lot like me. Like, I'm gonna go look into this, or I'm gonna wanna talk to my doctor. And it's like that, aside from like when you can tell me that you loved a book rec that I said, which is the best. So that is like the best.
Yeah, it's like the best thing ever. Yeah.
It's the best thing because it's like that at the core of everything, we're all human beings. And so I feel like being able to help somebody either feel validated, to get, you know, a second opinion, to get more information, to help themselves is like,
it's so empowering too. Like, you know, helping others realize like you got to advocate for yourself too.
Yes. Like we do it for our children, I feel like all the time, but sometimes it's hard to do it for ourselves.
Absolutely.
And if seeing someone else's story is going to be like the catapult to get you to do it, like that's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know that it helped, like seeing you and a couple others, like I didn't talk a lot about it at first because I just wasn't sure, but it's made me feel so much more comfortable, and now I feel like I'm kind of an open book because I'm like, there's really, I mean, what am I hiding? I was telling everyone in the DM. There's no shame, but I was like telling everybody in the DMs anyway, so I'm like, if someone wanted to know more about it publicly, or it's what I'm thinking, I feel way more validated within the last year to talk about it because it's my everyday life. It doesn't go away. I mean, we might have a good day, but it's not like the next day's probably 100 times worse than, as you know. You know what I mean?
I totally get it. No. So, okay. Foremost, I'm someone who is a very sensitive girly. I'm an empath through and through.
Sometimes I wish I could turn it off like Vampire Diaries style.
Like, can I turn it off?
No, I've like literally been crying to my husband before and been like, do you know how to turn it off? Like, please. Like,
switch, please.
Literally. How do I turn it off?
Oh, dude. Sometimes I wish. Like, so I've always been someone like that. Like, that has just been me to my core. So
me too.
Before I started being a mom, I think we all do, right? Like, we all think, like, oh, when I'm a mom, I'm going to be like this.
And then I'm all like, these expectations.
No. And, like, in some ways, yes. But in other ways, I've been humbled. I'm like, oh, okay.
Quickly. So, some of them happen so quickly, too.
And, like, there's certain things, too, like, hormonally that you just can't
control. You just can't control,
right?
Yeah.
No. You can't. There's a lot of shit going on. So with my first postpartum, like there was nothing going on. I felt like really great. Nothing going on. I was like, all right. Like, I mean, I felt like a little bit of the baby blues, but I was like, you know, I'm good. Then I had my second. And now I think that for me uniquely, I feel like I had my second in the midst of COVID, like the height of COVID. So I think that also probably plays a little bit of a role in like my mental health with that.
Yes.
When I had my second, I definitely felt the postpartum anxiety and some postpartum depression. I felt very isolated. I mean, clearly, right? Like we all did.
Right.
But having like a baby during the height of COVID was
wild. Those emotions and hormones are just like...
For a good reason, too.
Yeah. We found out that we were pregnant January of 2020. Okay.
So before lockdown happened.
Literally before the lockdown even happened. I remember we told my principal, because I was a teacher, so I was a kindergarten teacher for 8 years prior to becoming a stay-at-home mom. I told my principal
that's so wonderful.
I loved it. It was so fun. I'm going to go back eventually, but just like have to wait till my kids are in school. But principal, it was 2 weeks before COVID, and then they said, oh, we're gonna take 2 weeks off of school for a little bit. Meanwhile, it was not 2 weeks. And I remember I told her, I was like, I'm resigning, I'm gonna have my second, I'm gonna stay home, blah blah blah. And then COVID hit, and I was like, well, that was good timing, I guess. But then that kind of like made my postpartum with my second really difficult with like dealing with it in COVID. So I felt like
absolutely.
I kind of got like a glimpse of those mental health struggles, but I didn't really ever experience it. Had my third, I felt like, to be honest with you, since I had my second in 2020, I have been in sort of like fight or flight mode most of the time. So I feel like my body just, and I had my kids very close together, and that was done purposely. Some people will be like, did you do that on purpose? I'm like, I did. Because my
correct.
I always wanted to have my kids close just because that's what I grew up with. So in my mind, I'm like, gosh, that was so fun, like growing up with my
sisters. It's hard in the early years, but it pays off in the later years.
Yes, and I keep being told that, and so I know that's going to happen, but right now it's really hard. But We're going to make it through. My girls are actually, what's really cool is my girls are the same exact age gap that me and my sisters were. So oh, that's it's really so special. Wonderful.
That's really cute.
It's really special. It really is. So like that kind of probably hormones, everything. Like I didn't really give my body enough time, you know, all the things that they say. Well, when I was postpartum with my third, hormones were hormoning. Okay.
Yeah.
Postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety were really, really, really bad. I was struggling. And the sad part is that I reached out to my doctor and they just threw pills at me and said, here you go. Those don't work for me because I get horrible side effects. I've tried like 3 or 4 different kinds. They just don't work with my body. And then I said, I'm going to try therapy because that's what they say. I could not get into a therapist, I think, for 6 months. Nobody had availability for 6 months.
Ugh.
And even if they had availability, they were not insured. So it was astronomically priced. Like I couldn't.
That is crazy.
That.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to like get the help that I need to have, but I can't get it. So then when I finally get into therapist, not a good fit. I tried like 2 or 3 different kinds. So let's just say the mental health was not good. Okay.
Bless
and
you.
Then I started Thank to you. Realize that like, I was like, wait, interesting. Oh,
sorry. Bless you again.
Bless you.
It's my
as a father,
nobody
you,
says
father
it.
Live.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bless you.
3 smuts for all of you.
So now we're done. Oh you get God. No more blessings, okay?
No more blessings.
No more. So then I started to recognize that like a certain portion of my cycle, I was like, I'm like noticing this like ramp up in the postpartum rage, like that ragey feeling, which is if you're a mom and you've dealt with postpartum rage, you totally understand.
It hit me hard.
It sucks. It's
like, because I, not to take away from your story, it's just like my postpartum hit late. I did not breastfeed because I wanted to go back on my medication immediately because I already have manic depression episodes and I have such bad anxiety that I knew like for my mental health, like, and to help combat
Absolutely.
The postpartum. And it was a great decision, but not one person, including me, thought that at literally the 13 month mark, I was still on my meds. Like still, I got hit so hard with the postpartum and it presented at first in straight rage. I've never been angry in my whole life. I just don't do that. And I think everyone was like, hey, you're snipping a lot at every mean. I mean, I was going for the jugular, like, and it's not right, but I just was like, I think everyone went around, even my husband was just like, what? It just happened so crazy, but I didn't even know that the rage was technically the postpartum. I don't think anyone around me was telling me or teaching me, and I didn't do enough research because I was naive and thought I was in the clear. And then when I'm just so angry and everyone's starting to tell me all the time, like, you're angry a lot. Like, that's not normal. And I was like, okay, like, tell me again. Let's see how angry I get, right? Like, you know what I mean? So I'm glad you brought that up because I had no idea. And I could have been probably the 11-month mark, I could have realized the signs starting more if I would have realized it was could present as rage and not just sadness.
And
I could have been in a lot better spot.
People, and rightfully so, they just feel a lot of shame talking about postpartum rage because while you hear rage and you're like, oh, that sounds like you're like being physical, but that's not what it is. It's like it's more physical within yourself.
I am literally hot and sweating, physically red. Like, you could look at me and be like, that girl? Angry. Right. How do I get out of it? Like, how do I get out of it?
That could definitely, it's a very shameful feeling because you realize it. Like, in the moment, you're like, something, like, took over my body and I know that's not me, but, like, I can't help it. Like, it is. And
I know. It's so isolating.
Horrible. And people won't talk about it because of the stigma that it brings, but it is actually very common in the sense that more people experience it than they are willing to share.
My OB, as soon as I brought it up, they were like, this is so normal. They were like, this is one of the most normal things, like, about postpartum, and I was like,
where was everyone discussing it?
I'm like, wow, I wish I would have known that. I just wish I would have known. You try to prepare so much for your pregnancy and just the newborn, like being a newborn mom. I just wish someone would have been like, hey, like, let's, you should learn a little bit more about your aftercare too, not just like the literal physical of it all.
Don't even get me started on the fact that there's only a 6-week appointment, but yet babies have, like, throughout their first year, like, all these checks. Like, women should also put that just another topic. I know it's a depression rating scale sheet that you have to do. It's so bogus. You could totally okay, anyway, I could go on.
No, I know, I agree.
Mark off every time,
and they're like, really, and if you mark this off in good, then you're good. Okay, well, hello.
Like, they're so, like, anyways, they're worded horribly, and they are. Whatever. Mm-hmm.
That's, they make you feel bad while you're filling them out, and you literally just had a baby 3 days ago. Like, you just got released from the hospital 3 days ago, and they hand you that sheet for the first time, and they're like, and they make you feel bad. You're like, oh, so I'm not supposed to be feeling like this at all? No, you are. You are, without a doubt.
Yeah, so I just, I had been trying to do stuff for myself. I was, like, starting to do, like, trying to get back into eating better, healthy, like, working out, just trying to, like, be like, okay, I gotta, like, start doing something. So then I started to notice that at a certain point in my cycle, I was like, what's happening with me? And I was like, this is not normal for me. I've never experienced PMDD before prior to my third postpartum. Like, I had PMS, of course, and it's so different than PMS. And if you experience PMDD, you know what it is. I feel like that's,
I don't
such
know
a
why I didn't realize it sooner, because it is so different.
It's so different. And I, and whoever's listening that is experiencing PMDD, after we kind of talk about some things, but, like, it's, you're validated for feeling like something's off. Like, it's not just your brain telling you that something's weird. It's like, no, there's something going on, and you're validated. I started to kind of track my symptoms. I was like, okay, this is happening every single time on this specific day. And then after that, until I get my period, like, shit's hitting the fan and, like, stuff's happening. I'm like, I am a very patient person. I'm a very,
well, like, that must be nice.
I lack patience.
I would say most of the time.
Brittany's laughing at me because she knows. It's the way that I have such little patience.
I've been in kindergarten for eight years.
Makes my eye twitch.
Clearly I have it, right?
You do, yes. As a
in my mind,
wonderful,
like,
kindergarten teacher. Yes.
No, I'm patient. Why am I getting so triggered right now? Why am I getting so... And then I just started to notice, too, in conjunction to PMDD symptoms that were happening, I also was... I definitely experienced postpartum depression, for sure, but my postpartum anxiety was worse, to where I, like, physically felt the anxiety, and I still deal with that. Whenever my PMDD is happening, my anxiety ramps up. Like, that's kind of like, they like to just team up on me. It's really fun.
That's, like, how I feel all the time. Like, the anxiety is what creeps up, but I mean, the depression... and the big swings, but, like, I feel like I, like, physically feel like the,
like,
anxiety
jittery.
Every
like,
day. Mm-hmm. Like, so then when you're adding in, like, all the other things of the PMS and the PMDD and everything else under the sun, and I like learned last year that I have ADD, that everyone thought it was just something else. I just was like, it's too much. It's like, you know what I mean? You're just like,
it's
how is this literally all happening at one time?
It is not so, more the merrier, you guys, okay?
No! This is a why choose I'm gonna end. What is happening?
Literally, I just want to pick one. Just
you get one husband! Right? Like, I'm like, you get one mental illness, bro. You get one. I don't understand.
Literally. Oh, I know, dude, right? So I just remember I was starting to track my symptoms and where I was in my cycle, because unfortunately, which is really frustrating, it's another lovely part of maternal mental health that I love so much. You can't get a test. Like, you can't go in and be like, hey, draw my blood and tell me that I have PMDD.
Right.
It's basically like, there's not enough research. There's not enough, what is the word I'm trying to look for? Like, research backing it. Like,
yeah, there's not enough statistics and, like, different trials and things like that. There just hasn't been the work
so
put
then,
in.
Data's
so
not
then
there
you're,
to... really support
the OBGYNs and the primary care doctors kind of, I'm going to try to say this nicely. They kind of brush it off a little bit, okay? And they say, here, take anti-anxiety medication. Go, there's your fix. And that's not what it is. But basically the only way that you can kind of justify it or say that you have PMDD is like over a certain period of time, if you look on the symptoms, and I don't have it right now in front of me, okay. Unfortunately, but if you look at the symptoms, if you look it up, you can find it anywhere. Like say, what symptoms of PMDD? And then they'll tell you what it is. If you have those symptoms that happen anywhere from between after you ovulate until your period, usually it's like that 7 to 10 days before your period when you usually have PMS, but have those extreme symptoms for anywhere from 6 months plus, if you are consistently showing those symptoms every time at the same time for so many months, then they'll be like, you have PMDD. Like, yeah. That's what it is. But the problem is that there's like, seems like there's just no solution. They just don't have a lot of information on it. And so what I was trying to do, because my, bless Ryan, my husband, okay? Because he is literally the most patient man.
I'm like,
most...
we have patient men in our lives. Yes, literally. We have patient men.
Here's what I will tell you, dude. Husband literally wrote a book boyfriend, like my best idea of a book boyfriend. And I then just put it into a human being. That's Ryan. Like, yep. Ryan is literally like every book boyfriend. I'm like, but it's not Ryan, right? Like, that's just like, you know? So he is just like so great. And so he was like doing research too. He was like trying to look up like things to help. And so he was like, they say like we could take this supplement and do this and do that. He was like just trying to help so much and trying to understand like kind of how to help someone who has PMDD and like all that. And so I like remember I just was like, you know what? I'm fucking done with feeling this way. And I'm going to try all the holistic things that I could possibly do to try to help myself. So I was like, I'm going to start eating healthier. I'm going to start working out more. I'm going to take specific supplements that they say help with like certain hormones. And say that for the most part, I think that it's really helped shorten the time and maybe the severity. But I still deal with it every fucking month, dude. Like, every month. And for me, what happens is I just feel super depressed. I feel like it's so hard to just get out of my bed. And now I like totally just sympathize with people who suffer from depression all the time because it is like to say that you can just get up and brush your teeth or go take a shower. Oh, like, that's hard. That's
debilitating.
So I used
sometimes.
To feel so embarrassed because I have had a journey. Like my mental health journey started when I was 14. I was young, dealing with heavy things and heavy situations. And I remember being in different therapy groups and stuff like that and them being like, tell us what you did, like give us your checklist. And I would be so embarrassed to be like, I didn't even get anything on my checklist done. I didn't get up, I didn't change my clothes, I didn't wash my hair, I didn't brush my teeth. And I would feel so bad, but then I don't know, I've gotten older and I'm just like, I celebrate this small, I've helped me look at things different, even though it was so hard. But I finally, as I'm growing older, I say it's like the details, but it's just the small things. That's what I love is you. Good for you for being able to brush your teeth today. Like good for you for understanding that you needed to lay in bed all day. Like I understand that. And when some people are like, I don't understand why you can't text back or don't open DMs. It's just like, I can't explain it. It's literally just the way there's, it's like not
you
worth the extra voices.
It
yeah, it's like it's
time.
Not worth all the extra voices that are the anxiety like in my head. And
absolutely.
So I love when other people also like acknowledge that and are like, it's the small things. Like it's so hard.
Absolutely.
Like it is literally so hard. And sometimes I don't think people understand that.
Well, unless you like literally, is it almost as like somebody else inhibits your brain?
Literally.
And you know it. It's like you're cognizant
but
of it.
You,
you're like...
Yes. The way my therapist described it is you are in a coma, but awake. Like, you are awake in your body 100%. In a coma, but you are, like, literally in the back watching it like that movie. You know what I'm talking about? Where
yes.
I can't... You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I know what movie... I actually know exactly what movie you're talking about.
Yes, I just can't
exactly
think of the name, but that's my...
I have no
I've
idea
never,
what you're talking about.
The guy that does The Grinch is the guy that's in that movie, right? Where it's in your
Jim
brain. The Truman Show.
Yes.
Oh,
the
yes.
Truman Show, where at the end, it's all in his own brain. When my therapist broke it down like that or described it as like the coma, I was like, you are nailing it. so, I know, I hear you. I hear everything that's going on around me. I am functioning. I am awake and knowing what's going on, but I like can't verbalize what's actually happening because there's no words to describe how sad I am. So then all that comes out is like, I'm sad or like I'm struggling. But in reality, it's everything we just listed. You know what I mean? And more, there's not even words.
Yeah, I relate to that so much, dude. Like that is such a good analogy because that is exactly how it feels. And I feel like for me, the depression ramps up, the anxiety ramps up. I definitely will get my anxiety attacks more during that time. And then I feel like I just like almost can't, I almost like recognize that I'm so much more irritable and that sucks because what happens is
it's like you don't want to be that and you don't want to be that enlightened.
I'm like, I don't want to be reacting this way. And I feel like I'm getting frustrated over something that I probably wouldn't have been getting frustrated.
Yes.
And then me as a mom, I'm the flipping worse to myself because I beat myself up.
We're always
up
the hardest on ourselves.
Everything.
And then like you have a reaction to something that is very normal for like a toddler to do or something, but then you're angry and then it makes you more angry because you're a good mom and a good person. And you have to sit on it and
I
be like
a piece of shit.
You're like, great, I feel so bad that I had a normal human reaction to something that was annoying or whatever. But then we have to have the anxiety about it because they also were having a normal human. I know. It's a never-ending cycle. Then the next thing happens and you're like, add it to the list. I'll be thinking about it at 3 in the morning.
Not keeping score and going to love you no matter what.
And honestly, I feel like for me, two things that I'm super proud of is even during these times when I'm experiencing people, thankfully I'm not in my PMDD phase right now. Bless. But for me, proud of the fact that I always always hold myself accountable for when those moments happen.
That's all you can do.
Which I think is going to be huge for the kids. And also, I also feel like for me, like as a mom, I love that they're going to see emotion.
Yep.
Because to me, and this is nothing against my mother because she is literally an angel on earth. And I think she's the best thing. I love her so much. But I think I almost like knock myself down as a mom because I picture her as a mom. And I'm like, she was always put together. She was always happy. She was never angry. She never like lost her shit. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, I'm not doing that. So
that's not
suck.
Me.
and she was like, but then what's so funny is like, I'll talk to her about stuff because I'm experiencing her. Like I'm literally doing her motherhood again because of my girls.
Yeah.
And she was like, Jordan, you just don't remember that like I would do certain things or I would react to certain things, but like in your mind you don't remember those things because you're a kid and you don't recognize that. But I absolutely lost my shit and I absolutely did not do things perfectly. And I feel like I'm like, as a mom, I'm like, I love that they see that
it's
I am showing
so
human
beautiful.
Emotion.
Yes.
Because even today we were watching Moana and of course I always cry at all the Disney movies and I'm crying.
Yep.
And Charlie, my oldest, goes, Mama, are those happy tears? And I was like, yeah, they're happy tears because this is so sweet. And she was like, me too. This makes me feel really happy. I want to cry. Like, it's just, you know, like,
aww.
I
love it.
Even my 2-year-old, my 2-year-old who is just starting to communicate, if I even like make any type of reaction that makes it seem like I'm not okay, she'll go, you okay, Mama? Like, and I'm just like,
adorable.
I just feel like for me,
I know, I love it.
It's really,
I like that I get to see real human emotions. I remember
people
would throw it as my whole life an insult. You're so emotional, like no one's gonna love you or be able to handle your emotions. Like, learn to control your emotions. I blah 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 blah, like literally my whole life. I kid you not. And I remember even like when I was pregnant, people were like, you have to make sure to like control your emotions or like your child's only like gonna come out sad and crying and blah, blah. And I realized like, you know what? My child is gonna be very well emotionally rounded because I might be very emotional, but I also feel like I'm so in tune with all emotions that I'm always telling other people like, but you're not that, you're this. And not in a mean way, but it's just like, there's more to it. There's not just angry and sad. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
I get so excited because it's like, my child is going to be so emotionally regulated in ways I wasn't and that I needed. And still room to grow and figure out what they need. But I just wish I would have had some of these tools. And so now I'm like, whatever happens, whether you have anxiety or hopefully not, or depression, but it's hereditary. I'm just like, I feel like I am now learning so much that I can help you and know the tools that you can need as a kid.
Well, and
I'm
thinking here for you, Jordan, too, for your girls, how lucky that, like, that they don't have to go through this in the future, but if they do, they're going to have someone that they can come to and get support and advocate for them.
And, you know, knows, like, yeah.
No, so nice. Like, honestly, like, that is anything. I hope they don't struggle with this when they're older, but if they do, at least they know that their mom gets it. Mm-hmm. And I have vowed to Ryan, I'm like, I am going to be that. I am going to support my girls when they are mothers, if they choose to do that. I want to be their biggest support system, yes, because being a mom, while it is the most beautiful thing ever, and I literally love it, and I've wished for it my whole life, and I'm just so grateful for it.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
There are things that come with it that you don't anticipate, and there shouldn't be shame about if maybe your motherhood journey and the way that you are as a mom and things that you go through are a little different or unexpected that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you or something, you're a terrible mother.
It might sound naive, human, but like, it affects everything. Yeah. I think that, like, you prepare for things and they'll be like, it can cause strain on your marriage and this and that. And then you go through it and you're like, oh, wow. You're like, wow, I am, because your brain just opens up in such a way now that you're both parents.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. I said to you, Jordan, when I first saw your stories about PMDD, that I was like, be able to relate, but I am here and happy to listen or be a board. If you just need someone to bitch at, like, you can send me a rage voice note. You can do whatever you need to do. But like, full parent expectations, you go into it thinking like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and this is going to how I'm going to do it. And then life throws you a curveball. And yep, absolutely. I have autistic son with non-speaking autism, so he's ASD level 3, and my parenthood journey got flipped in a 180, and I was like, well, God knew I couldn't handle like tons of things, so that's what I'm struggling with and trying to manage and not
absolutely
lose my shit and stuff like that. So I
you're amazing, dude.
I don't that, but I feel like I wish I kind of knew more of what you both are feeling.
In a weird way,
so that I could be more supportive or helpful or know what you need, because I don't know truly what you're needing.
Even the thing that, like, I feel like for me, and I think that anyone can relate to this, all that you really want is just for someone to listen to you and be like, yes, I hear you. Like, that sounds hard. Like,
there are times where, like, that's all you want. And it's not in a mean way. There are just times that I need a Jordan. Like, there are times where I'm going through so much of the pain that I need like a Jordan because it's horrible, but like, I know they know the exact pain and I don't have to describe it or like explain. But then what I have found more times than not, especially because like we are best friends and we talk every day, is it's not like I'm finding joy, but it's like I'm finding comfort in knowing that there are women out there who are willing to learn and understand and give me the space I need at any age, whether they've gone through it or not. And I've never had that. So every day, because it's almost every day, I feel terrible. I remember becoming friends with Brittany and being like, I have health issues, real life, like chronic stomach ulcers, chronic stomach acid, esophage, like literally the list is endless. Like, and so I feel like a lot of times it's going to seem like I'm complaining, but it's like, I don't do that to anybody. So when Brittany like gives me the space to just exist and
that's all you want,
nothing else, I feel like it's the best gift I have, because
absolutely
there is not enough people that just let me exist.
Wish I could, no,
like Brit, when we went on our girl trip, I kept telling her, like, I'm so sorry, I don't feel good, life is happening, and I'm just, and you know, she's, you can just exist, like, you're okay to just be together and let life keep going while we're doing it together, and that, to me, means more than anything.
Absolutely.
I don't want, and I mean it, I don't want it on my worst enemy, and I mean that with my whole chest, like,
yeah,
It is crazy. It's, I know, you know, it's hard to describe the pain. It's because it's literally so internal. It's just because
you can't see it.
You can't see it. And you literally can't escape it. Like, you know how like sometimes with your back aches or your stomach aches or your headaches, like there is some way to escape it eventually. But there's something about it being like your womb and your core. There's no escape. It's that your whole function. Your whole life, you know what I mean? Like, is right there. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to escape it. And so I think when other women who don't have to escape it, like, let us come to them for the escape, cry. Because I'm like, you don't understand how...
Absolutely.
Not enough women hold space for people. All people. Women, men. I just feel like sometimes you don't get enough space held for you when you have, like, a chronic health issue. And so when people hold me that space, I'm going to cry amazing. Right now because it's so...
No, it's amazing. And that's also, too, like, something that I have found that whenever I do share something, like, if I'm struggling mental health-wise or if, like, you know, I'm dealing with my PMDD thing and I'm talking about it, like, I... literally think that there are just so many women that will come and DM and say either thank you for sharing this, or they'll bring words of encouragement, or they'll say I experienced this too.
Yeah.
Like it's like, it doesn't really matter if you understand it, Britt, but like you
understand the trauma, even if you're not feeling it.
And you experience something that we don't understand.
So and I like, try to make sure, like, I hold a space for you absolutely. And your problems. Yeah. But I love that we're all finding spaces because it's not a competition. I think sometimes, not with, like, I think sometimes people are like, well, I have this problem and this problem and this. Well, we can all have our problems and still support and lift each other up, even if we're not having the exact same problems. And I found in this community more than any other I've been in, people, women in particular, get it. They understand more of that emotional like vulnerability that we're all looking for in our own struggles.
I feel like too, like, when we read our books too, like that's what all of our characters do. They're vulnerable. They're emotional. They talk about their feelings. Mm-hmm. They talk about where they're at. They want to be open. And so I feel like people who are chronic romance readers like us, like
chronic.
It's not
I need a medication to help for real.
Like, give me the romance. Right?
I'm like,
but the people in the books, like, they do that too. So I feel like it's almost like for us, it's like, that's not weird. Like, let's just talk about shit. Yep. You know? It's like, that's what's amazing.
Then you like
too.
Break it down and you're like, well, like, and obviously they're like, they're characters in books, but then you realize, like, well, like, a woman wrote it and she obviously gets it and understands it. Therefore, I think that's sometimes why the parasocial can get a little crazy with the authors, is because we are falling in love with their characters, but we're falling in love with them understanding how to write the real life issues. And that's where I'm like, I am like, your best friend because you understand.
We're able to go to someone else in this community and just like so open and honest, whereas if we were meeting someone else we might take it a little bit slower.
I probably would be,
you know,
but I love this community too because it has made me feel so comfortable with finding my voice, and but that I have now taken to other parts of my life where I have not been vocal or stood up for myself before, and it's all because of this community and other women teaching me and showing me like you can still be happy and respectful or feel anything you need to feel while also getting your point across and making sure that like your voice is heard. And I'm so thankful for that because I grew up very sheltered and very differently than other people, I can promise you that. So I really hold, like, especially when I meet like older friends though too, and I don't mean that in a mean way, like I'm looking at you guys because you know so much and I love your opinions and to understand things, and I'm someone that's always like, well, I would like to
remember to respect your elders, Libby.
I know, she always tells me that, and I'll be like, you respect your father, you respect your father first and foremost.
I know. I do sometimes. I do, like, if I'm like, man, I'm like, I think I'm on the older side of the book talk community.
I didn't mean that in a mean way either.
No, listen.
Just so you guys are aware.
All the time.
I embrace my age.
I feel like a lot of people are.
It's amazing.
I think a lot of people are surprised when I tell them I'm 27, and they literally would come back and be like, I thought you were at least in your 30s. Well, I'm going to take that as, you know, I'm mature and carry myself well, and I'm not looking old as old.
There you go. That's right.
They always say, no, you don't. And they'll be like, or I thought Britt was 28. And I'll be like, well, that's also great. She probably feels awesome when you tell her
Hell
that.
Yeah. You got, hey.
But then
looking,
I'm like,
amazing.
Are you thinking I'm like immature? Like, I'm like,
what? Then she's like, am I naive? And I'm like, Brittany, they're trying to tell me I'm 35.
No, skincare is just Whatever I'm you like, do with your they think thing, I'm
35, Brittany? She's like, no, it's old soul, old soul. I'll be like, 35, though? 35? I'm not even... not that it's old at all. Girl, I used to think 30s were so old, and obviously I was young and stupid. And now I'm like, I know my 40s will be the best years of my life because I have... Absolutely. It'll be the first time I have nothing going on down there. I can't wait for it. I'll be young and thriving. My kid will be graduated high school by the time I'm 41.
Hell yeah, dude.
Beyond pumped.
Yeah, I'm loving the 30s. I'm going to be 34 in April. Everyone says it's better. It is. I feel like it's 100% better,
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost just like when you enter your 30s, I literally, not to sound cheesy, but I did feel a shift. It's weird. When I turned 30, I was like, I actually do feel like this is like a different birthday.
I kid you not, I texted Brittany. It was probably like 2 months after my birthday, but I remember texting her and being like, my frontal lobe just fully developed. like in this literal exact moment. And I was like, I see new colors. Everything has changed, Brittany.
I agree with you, Jordan, though, about the 30. But I think my 30 change, though, was a little unique because I was supposed, at least in June, I was supposed to turn 30 and then give birth to my first son in July, but he came in May.
Early.
So
yep.
He came in May. Oh my God. He came 8 weeks early, so I was technically 29 when he was born. And so I spent my 30th birthday in the NICU next to his little isolate. And the doctor works at the NICU that he was in. And so he got spoiled. And the nurses decorated his whole isolate with little birthday pom poms and they put a little hat on him and took pictures. So, but like my 30th birthday, it was just such a mind fuck for me because I was supposed to turn 30 and then become a mom, but I was a mom and it's just so weird, like, you know,
when you were wrapping your head around it, you start wrapping your head around your ideas and then you literally learn, which it's no one's fault, but you just learn so quickly, like, oh, you're right, it's no one's fault, this baby has a mind of its own
when he was supposed to come because of the infection that he had and stuff, you know, so it worked out how it was supposed to, but I felt like it was the weirdest birthday, and I did. Yeah, I felt like
wow.
I felt like I really aged 30. A lot more than just 1 year. You know?
yes. Literally. I've aged 12 years this year alone. I can promise you that. I have no idea what's going on anymore.
Dude, I feel you there. I feel you there, dude. What's going on? I don't know. But we'll just dive into our romance books and our fantasy and just disassociate, right?
And we
That's what we do.
Reading
helps us. Absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I am so thankful I found it and have the privilege to read so many books from so many amazing authors.
Yep. And I think that at the end of the day, that's what I feel like so many people that start a bookstagram or start reading again, it's because they just want something for themselves. They need something for their mental health. They need something that is like going to bring them joy, that is outside of everything else.
Absolutely.
It's specifically for them. And I feel like that is at the core of like so many of us.
Yes.
And I feel like that's also why we can relate so well to each other too, is because it's like we all are doing this for a specific reason. And it's all very similar. So I love it.
I know. Love it. We love it. You.
I love
you. Are amazing.
Guys.
Without a doubt.
Before we wrap up, I don't know if that's where we're headed, but
oh my gosh.
I wanted you, Jordan, to tell me a little bit more about a book that is on my 10 before the end, because if you alone.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
What book?
I'm ready. What is it again?
Variation by Rebecca Yarros.
Oh, okay, girl. Okay. Gosh, I don't want to. Well, first of all, I was like mind blown that they wanted to send that to me. I was like, what the fuck?
That is so cool.
So awesome.
I'm
naive. Really quick, my tangent is I found her through Fourth Wing. Fourth Wing alone.
That's on my TBR, baby.
I love Violet Sorengill with my whole heart.
Yes.
But I've never read any, I've only read one other thing by her. So is this in a series or?
So this is just a standalone contemporary romance. Is a second chance. That's all I will say. Because I don't want to give you too many tropes.
Okay.
I appreciate.
It is a second chance. So I'll say that. It was my first Rebecca Yarros book. Because I had not read. I have not read Fourth Wing yet. And that is on my TBR. After I finish my ACOTAR stuff, I'm going into the Fourth Wing. And I want to do Iron Flame?
Yes.
So I can be ready for Onyx Storm, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yes. January.
So that is what I'm going to be doing. But
I remember they reached out to me and they said that they wanted to send it to me. And I was like, oh,
that's so cool.
What do you want me to say? No? Like, of course I'm going to say yes. What do you want me to say? Because I don't want to give anything away. Is it romantic suspense?
I want to know why you want me specifically.
Is it Emotion City?
Okay. Hold on.
That's what I want to know.
I got to make sure I tread this.
See, these are the type of tropes I like. It's like I make them up myself. Is it Emotion City?
There is definitely emotions in there. I feel like she did a very good job of handling. I'm trying to think of how I can say this without giving any spoilers.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot this badly.
Okay.
But
I've been wanting to ask you questions. Do you remember how you recommended Unravel Me to Me by Jen Plumer? Mm-hmm. Okay. And how you feel like she did a really good job of how they had time apart and they got back together, correct?
Oh. Yes, correct.
Okay. I feel like Rebecca Yarros, did a phenomenal job of showing us how they end up getting back together and their journey to get there and the little snippets of things that you learn that happened 10 years ago and kind of how it all ties together. I really loved it. And also, like, I feel like people would say that this MC could be a new favorite book boyfriend.
Oh, I'm here for that.
Snap.
Yeah. Yes.
That is your rec, obviously, for Brit. Now I'm going to put you on the spot. What is a book if you could make me read it?
You probably already read it. I feel like I'm so behind on, like, books, dude.
I love putting people on the spot.
Okay.
If you can't think of it right now, you can DM it to me. But I'm trying to make it a... If you come on the podcast, you get privileges. And the privileges, Father Lib is going to read your book rec.
Oh, shit. Okay. Woo! Let me throw some things out really quick. Have you read the Mindfuck series by S.T. Abbey?
Yes.
Okay, thank God. Okay, amazing.
It's on my...
I did the audio.
Rec if I'm still finishing it this year.
I didn't know there was an audio. I binged that stuff so fast. It's so good, Britt. You have to.
It is good. You'll like it, Britt.
It's supposed to happen this year, but I'm behind on my 12 for 12, so let's be serious by a couple of months.
You'll absolutely devour it.
Okay.
I'm trying to think.
Have you read Boys of Tomen?
I haven't yet. I know.
Me neither. I haven't. That's on my list of things I'm not reading. That's my December 12 for 12 from Laura. What's her thing? May.
Book through May.
I love her.
Yeah, she gave that to me.
She makes me want to read it too. She's
pulled out the big stuff and said, oh, you're giving me a 12 for 12 spot? She said the whole thing, the whole damn series. I said, okay, girl.
I told her it was on my list of Brit's never going to read this. And she's like, that's
Emotion City.
She goes,
and
that track. That's probably a good move for you. Me.
And then she said, that's pretty Libby coded. Exactly. Yep. Yep. I'm here for it.
I love it. I think I'm honest to God. I think I have to think about this because I need to look at your Goodreads.
You still? Oh God.
That was a good bitch,
not a bad bitch, but that was like a bitch. Good luck with that Goodreads. Holy shit! A fucking disaster. Thousands of books on there. You're gonna be like, I throw in the towel.
I don't know.
What's your favorite book? Now I am putting you on spot. If you had a gun to your head, sorry, a little graphic, folks. One book, like our house burning down right now, your kids, everyone else is safe, but you get to grab one book. Your house right now. Your kids are safe. Everyone's fine.
I already know.
Give me the book.
What do you want me to say except for, excuse me, A Court of Mist and Fury? I said it.
Dude, I love it.
And we're showing it. That's right.
I was prepared.
Literally, that changed my brain chemistry.
Respect.
I have that ingrained in my soul.
Queen of Shadows. And the people I know you don't know what's going on, but people are always like, I didn't understand why you always talk about the specific moment in Air of Fire. And then you come at me and tell me that the next book is your favorite. You clearly don't know anything about Libby is what I want to tell those people. You don't know shit about me and you don't know anything about Tog. No, I'm just kidding. I just can't wait. Oh my God. Okay. That's good to know. I do like to know this, Jordan.
I support it.
I will say. Can I ask
what it was before this month? Just for my shits and giggles. Before you read
Akatar. Before I read Akatar?
Yeah, just for shits and giggles. I know it's hard. Oh my gosh. I just like to know where people's brains go because everyone's is different. Like, obviously. But you know what I mean? I just
I have it. I have it, I think. God, I could give one for each category, but I'm just going to stick with my, like, it immediately came to my head.
Yes.
It is the Play With Me by Becca Mack.
I thought it would be Becca for you.
Literally, Garrett and Jenny, still nothing holds a candle to them. Respect. Although I will say, Fall With Me was a really
We haven't read that one yet.
It just got delivered from the UK because I had ordered the first one from Blackwell, so I wanted to keep it in the same family, you know, and it just got delivered this week.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. That one came for Play With Me. It came for it. It was so fucking close, but it I still can't get over Garrett and Jenny. I just still can't. Like, I love them so much. They're still my favorite.
Part of a time with Fall With Me because the FMC's name is Lennon, and But I think it'll be fine, but it's just sometimes the names are weird.
The two of them are so good. Like, you're going to love it.
I'm excited. Can you take a guess at what my favorite book is from that series, Jordan?
Wait.
Fucking Christ.
Oh, gosh. Wait. Oh, gosh. I'm scared. What is it?
It's Unravel Me. What is it? It's Unravel Me.
I loved Unravel Me, but it was my least out of the whole series.
A lot of people's it is. I'm always normally in the minority for things.
Consider me. But it was Carter still fucking so Beckett good. Takes that.
Oh, the very bottom.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Adam was amazing. Adam delivered. He was phenomenal.
We're going to start a great relationship on a lie said. No one fucking ever. Multiple times. He had so many chances to come clean. Like, I got it the first time, but then, like, the third time when he could have...
Not me being a man apologist in this.
Sorry, guys.
Very rarely I'm a male apologist. Normally, people are telling me I'm too harsh on the men, and I'm like, what do you want? But there are occasions where people definitely judge me.
It's okay. Listen, to me, I love Becca Mack so much, and I love her books. So even though it pains me to say that something is my least out of the favorite, like least favorite out of the series.
Even Taylor Swift has to have a least favorite album, and that's what I tell people.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
And no one's ever going to beat her, but you can't make me like something higher even though I love her. That's just not how it works.
No shade to Unravel Me. I still ate it up. But I'm just telling you, like you guys read Fall With Me, you're going to be like,
I'm excited. I've had a couple people tell me that they think that one will be my favorite.
Oh,
it's really good. It's really good.
I'm excited. Yep. While we're wrapping up, is there anywhere you're going to like be next year? Are you doing any conventions or is there anywhere that people might be seeing you around the town?
Well, hopefully. I feel like nobody lives where I live.
Love it.
I don't know.
I'm like, are you a Bridgerton fan? Are you going to be out on the town?
On the town.
I'm going to go on a promenade. Oh, no, what is it?
A promenade on the town with your smut book. They would be like...
They'd be like, blasphemy.
Scandal.
Witch! Witch!
It's Eloise. What is she reading over there? No, so as far as I know at this current moment, I don't know if there will be any more this year, but I am going to Beachside Book Fest in Fort Lauderdale, Florida in May of 2025.
Ooh, I know a bunch of people are going.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be Erin McKenzie's assistant.
Love.
I'm so excited.
Is that your first convention or have you been to them before?
I have done, oh gosh, what did I do? I went to, why can I think of, literally if you ask me what the name of things are, I blank.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's fine.
Inked and Indie.
Something like that.
That was in across the bridge from me, like in Maryland. And so I was like, hell yeah, let's go. That was so fun. And then I'll probably do that next year if they have that again. And then I have been to another one, but I am like literally drawing a blank of what it was.
Don't even worry about it. I forget.
No big deal.
I don't do a ton of them.
We've
never done one, like a big thing because social anxiety. I'm just like,
I went to MC Silver. Why am I blanking? I went to a
for Wild
Love.
We
did a sign. Yeah, so we did a, like, we've been to a signing.
Yes, it was a signing. It was, yeah, it wasn't like a.
But we haven't done a full convention yet. Yeah, I have such bad social anxiety.
So then,
anxiety,
are you guys going to go to then the Beach Revo? Sorry.
I have a few author friends who have been throwing out ideas of me going places next year, but that's obviously subject to change.
Well, you know, we'll see.
So I'll be sending those to you. You go for me. This is Father Lib today.
Okay. I'll pretend to be you.
I want to go. I want to go to a couple, but we'll have to see how things are going. I also just have such bad anxiety that I try not to put the pressure on myself. The signing was a great first step for me. I also made them all sit in the back, and we had to be the last one in the line. But hey, I did it. And
we were okay.
Yeah. That's right. And it was great.
It was. That's what I'm thinking.
Obsessed with you.
I love you guys.
Without
so
a
much.
Doubt, you have to come back on. It's literally not an option.
Absolutely.
Well, just tell me.
Especially
what.
Once you're caught up with all of Akita,
right? Oh my gosh. It's
Let's
the
do
way.
That.
When we're going to have the deep dive episode, I feel like she should
come
back.
Yes, that would be so fun. Yes, I would love to. Honestly, because I love to have everyone's thoughts and opinions for those. So definitely for that. And I'm not kidding. I want to plan a Taylor Swift episode with romance books.
Oh, my God. Okay, perfect.
Because I really don't. I mean, I have like one other person, two other people that are like Swifties, which is Eva and Brooke, Romance Books Rex.
Yes.
I feel like we just need all of the knowledge. I make it one epic podcast of Taylor Swift. And we
I'll just
start
take
yelling
a whole
at,
bunch of notes, you guys.
I'm like, we're yelling at Britney. Taylor Swift, Taylor this, and this, and this guy, and this boyfriend.
Brittany's just gonna be like, oh Lord. Okay.
She'll be like, and crazy. You guys are fucking crazy. And that's for sure. No, seriously. Thank you. We love you. You are amazing. We will make sure to link everything for you below, TikToks, all of that, so that you guys better go show the love. I'm sure all of you already do, but if for some reason you're
not, you better rectify it.
You better rectify it, or the Father is coming for you in the name of smut.
Oh, you better watch out.
Yeah, three hail smuts. I tell people that all the time on Threads. I'm like, three hail smuts. And you're good for the day. Anyway, we love you. You're amazing. And we will see you all next time. Peace and blessings.
Bye, guys.
Bye.